Well, church, good morning. Man, we really, as Kate said, thank you, Kate, we had an incredible week, and you saw those kids. I mean, the seats that you are sitting in, they were there worshiping, shouting Jesus, wiping boogers on your seats. We cleaned them. But it was an incredible week. Whether you have little ones or even if you don't, I mean, there's so much joy in watching kids just have fun and be themselves and let loose. And so it truly was just the most amazing week. And it was fun for our staff just to be around. And thank you all again, as Kate said, for so many of you, the difference makers that served, that sacrificed, took time off work, and you were here and you helped. And so thank you for that. Today, yeah, give it up for them one more time. Thank you. So today we're going to talk about change, and studies are showing more and more that change happens to us, it happens to our children. And so today's message in many ways is for parents, but whether you are a grandparent, aunt, uncle, you've got brothers, sisters, or maybe you are even a student, this message is for you too, because there are principles that we'll talk about today that you can apply to your life, no matter where you are in your journey or if you're helping the next generation. But we also want to focus on empowering the next generation and setting them up for success. So the challenge is, though, in this day and age, children experience far more change than they ever have. And in fact, they are doing studies saying that not only do children experience change, life comes at them quicker than it ever has before. For example, the average adolescent hears 10,000 messages of input per day. Now, they've done studies on this over the years since 1950. They've done longitudinal studies that children every year get more and more stimuli and more input in their lives. So every year that it increases, actually what the studies are showing, that more and more pressure is on children. And in fact, one psychologist says this, Dr. Robert Lee says, the average high school kid today has the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the early 1950s. Now, when I first heard this, and even being a previous in my undergrad psychology major, I wondered, well, is this because we are overanalyzing? Everyone, you know, gets a depression tag. But what the studies have said is that because children go through so much change, job change, parents, marriage, locations, all of the technology, they truly are more impacted. And think about it like this. Here's an analogy. If your immune system is fighting a lot of different colds and viruses and attacks, your immune system is constantly fighting, working overload, and then it becomes weakened. And so when the immune system is weakened, it becomes more susceptible and more vulnerable to an attack. So children, this next generation, they are more susceptible because they are just worn out with constant change. And this world is changing more and more, and it's not always a bad thing, but how do we prepare them? Here's some of the statistics that talk about these things, that over 94% of college students now, when they were asked, give one word to describe themselves, they use this one word, and it's overwhelmed. If you're taking notes there, you'll see in the intro box, children and adolescents are overwhelmed. That's how they're describing themselves. 44% of college students say they are so overwhelmed that it is impacting their decisions and they are unable to act, and it's impacting them greatly. 1 out of 10 has recently thought about suicide. Do you know, with the ages between 18 and 34, the second leading cause of death is suicide. And this is impacting our own community. With just recently this last week, sadly, there was news of suicide with young children, students, and in our community at large. And so this is impacting the city. It's impacting our world. It isn't something just in statistics, but it's in our neighborhood. So how do we actually make a difference? How do we come along, instead of shame a culture, say, we believe we can help? Now, what's interesting on this phenomena is that it is everywhere, and you see it in music. Now, music does two things. It reflects culture, and it also directs culture. So it reflects it, it shows what's going on, and it also helps shape it. A few years ago, many of you have heard the song 21 Pilots. So if we examine what students, children are hearing, this came out a few years ago, the song Stressed Out says this. You might know these lyrics. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when our mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. I was told when I get older, all my fears would shrink, but now I'm insecure and I care what people think. Do you know middle school students today, their primary source of identity, where they feel worth, where they feel loved, is not from their family, is not from their family name, their community. Do you know where they're getting their identity when polled, asked middle school students? Social media. So their social media is giving them the identity. And if you're a student here today, I need you to hear this. You are more than your likes. You are, in fact, you are loved by your creator. You are loved by God. Don't chase likes that are fleeting. And our goal as a church is not to shame a culture, but we want to, in fact, transform it, because we believe this here, that we, if you're taking notes there, we all can make a difference. So instead of just saying, well, listen to these songs and how bad they are, we believe that we truly can all make a difference. We can empower this next generation. We can make a difference in their lives. And in fact, Paul writes this in scriptures. He says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This, friends, is where we enter in, where God calls us. He says, yes, society might be going one way. And I want to clarify, if you're new to church, maybe you're used to coming to church and seeing the church just bash culture and bash society. That is not what we want to do here. And in fact, we are for society. We want to love society, but we also believe that we can positively make a difference in society. Is this cutting out again? Let me grab this mic. Check, check. There we are. All right. So again, sorry for that. Thank you. We know that we can make a difference, and we don't want to shame a culture, but we want to come alongside and say, how can we help? How can we love those that are in need with suicide and all of these things going on? We truly want to help. And here's what we believe as a church. Our children, our student ministry, we have this curriculum. It's called Orange Curriculum. And if we could show us a slide here of what we got. We've all heard the saying that the heart, home is where the heart is. And so we believe here at Wilshire that as parents, and the studies show this, children are most impacted by their parents. They are influenced by their caretakers. The people that live in the home and care for your children, students, children, look to parents still as the number one influencers. So we believe in the harm, and the home is where the heart is. And so as the church, Jesus is the light of the world, and we believe that we don't have all the answers ourselves, but we look to one who does. And so yellow, the light. And so the orange curriculum is about pairing the light with the heart, yellow with the red, and making orange. Our goal is to empower parents. When your children go to VBS, what we're teaching is there is one who has it all, there is one who knows far more than us, and we're teaching, we want to empower children to trust their parents, and we want to equip parents to point them to Jesus and help them handle difficult times. So where we're going this morning, Dr. Tim Elmore, he has so much research. He's a Christian psychologist, and I want to give him credit so much of this research, because he says where society's going and all of this impact, that is going on, we can make a difference, but it boils down to one word. And this one word that we need to teach, this concept that we need to teach the next generation. Are you ready for it? It's resilience. We need to teach this next generation resilience. So we're going to look at this morning, and he gives a practical way how to teach children this next generation resilience. So let's go, if you got your notes. First one here is declare God's promises. So declare God's promises out loud. The children here in our community, as you got to hear Kate share that story, when little Alice was crying and saying, "Mommy, I'm scared, but God is good." Friends, when you, whether it's with your children or you yourself, there are lies that get built up in your head. Have you ever woke up in the morning and your mind is just racing with all of your insecurities, all of the things that you failed and different things? And so here is a practice. It might sound corny, but I encourage you to speak God's promises out loud. Speak them in the mirror. Speak them to yourself. And this is not positive self-help, because this is relying on a Savior who has rescued us and promises to enter in with us. I mean, in fact, look at some of these promises throughout Scripture. It says this: when life is unfair, God is good. The promise is this in Scripture: the Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. Here's the other promise: when life is scary, God is good. Do you see these? These are on your notes here. Take these home. Teach these to your children. Teach these to the next generation. Every day in VBS, the children got one of these themes every single day. Reinforce these themes. Say them to your children. Say them to your friends, your neighbors, your family. Encourage them. When life is scary, God is good. Many of us have heard that song. Even though when I walk through the valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, don't freak kids out, just through the valley, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Children are afraid. And what we need to build in this next generation to say, instead of just remove fear, remove every situation, to understand, Jesus says, in this life you will have many troubles. To teach our children to try to remove all troubles is not the answer. Yet to teach them, and it's not just positive, fluffy, magic, fairy dust teaching that we're giving them, but to say, actually, the God of the universe can be your stronghold. When you are in trouble at school, when you are having trouble sleeping, when your friend said something mean about you, God is good. And in fact, the promise you see there in the Scriptures that God is close to the brokenhearted. To show your child or friends in your community that this is painful, what you're going through. Yet I want you to know, not cliche, God is good, just smile, but I want you to know he's there with you in your pain and in your suffering. And so remind, speak these promises, because here's the CDC. We've talked about a lot of children, adolescents in college. The CDC reports here in America, with children under 13, once every 5 days, a child under 13 takes their life. Friends, this is an epidemic. Because what they've said, and here's the thing. I did not come this morning to freak you all out. Okay? I know these are alarming statistics. But I also know that God is the hope. God is healing, transformation. And that's why we want to partner with parents. We don't want to stand idle as these things are happening. Whether children come to know Jesus or not, we want to love them and impact them and say, you know what, there might be a different way than what society, the direction they're going. Because change is happening so rapidly, because children are exposed to so much, it is difficult. And yet, also at the same time, we're in a world where life is easier than it's ever been. You think about the physical resistance. Hey, think of many of us when we go, instead of going shopping, we click a button, package shows up. We no longer go to Blockbuster, right? You click a button, and it's there. Some of the kids are like, what's Blockbuster? There's this old thing, these boxes, you'd stick them in the TV. It's crazy. But resistance, right? We just even the physical resistance. And remember, sometimes you had to fight with the VHS tapes, and they would spin. And do some of you have the old school rewinders? Like, do you remember when rewinders first came out? It was a separate machine, and you could speed rewind them. Anyway, I digress. But it's so important that we have to, as parents, which leads into the second point, is this, that children can make an influence, and this is what we need to teach our children. I'm going to give you not only 3 points, but 3 images, because images sometimes help children, sometimes they help us as well. It is this image right here. Are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? A thermometer gauges the temperature of the room. A thermometer can go in and say the room is hot or the room is cold. A thermostat can increase the temperature or decrease the temperature. Now, here's the thing, friends. They have done another longitudinal study on children in America. And every year that they've looked at, because life gets more increasing, more change, it's getting harder and harder. But they've noticed 2 different things. That the students, the children that do well, have what's called an internal locus of control. And I'll explain that. It's not everyday language. But the ones that struggle have a high external locus of control. Now, somebody that has a high external locus of control means that they're in society and they realize there are so many things that cannot be changed. Now, as adults, we know there are things in society we just can't change. But also, we wake up knowing that we can make a difference in our lives. We can change the way we think. We can change the impact in our own communities, our own lives. We can make a bigger difference than we think. So children, adults even, that just throw in the towel and say, you know what, life is always going to be this way. I can't make a change. They are the ones that struggle more with depression, anxiety, have health issues. And the ones that are doing more successful are the ones that have the high internal locus of control. They say, I believe I can make a change. So where I'm going with this is this. Because here's the promise of the scriptures. The scriptures are that you are given, when you put your faith in Jesus, the same Holy Spirit is given to you that raised Christ from death to life. The same words when Jesus spoke to Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come out of the grave. You are no longer dead, but you are alive. That same power is inside of everyone, young and old, who confesses and believes and puts their trust in Jesus. So as followers of Jesus, we can have the ultimate internal locus of control. We can have the ultimate saying, yes, there are some things in society I can't change, but if I have God's Spirit, I can do incredible things. And so we can teach this to the next generation, and we can truly make an impact. You are not just a thermometer. Yes, there are some situations that might be difficult to change, but you are a thermostat. You can impact your classroom. And in fact, we've done this. We had over 55 backpacks this week from our VBS students. Our children brought backpacks that are helping, loving, caring for foster children in our community. They are making, come on, give it up for that. Amen. 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 And so, friends, we want to celebrate those wins. And that leads to the second point is this. Give children the opportunity to have small wins. Give children the opportunity to have small wins. Because you'll see there in your notes, if you could write, move a child from helpless to hopeful. Move children from being helpless to hopeful. Do you know helplessness is something that is learned? So when a child tries to make an impact and they don't see success, they learn, well, I'll never make a difference. And so then they try something again, then they learn, I'll just never make a difference. So helplessness is learned. So teaching our children to be hopeful must be taught. And now there's a pastor and a great leader, many of you know him, John Maxwell. And he's known for being a pastor and a business leader and just a leader of leaders. He had shared this one impact that is very practical for giving children small wins. So he would say after dinner, every day, he would have dinner and he had an older brother and kind of like boys, they would wrestle in, their dad would read the newspaper and he and his older brother would wrestle. Now he said, Larry would always whoop me. Every single time he would pin me and I could not win. And he said one day, his dad began to notice Larry was beating John quicker and quicker. Every time he was pinning him more and more quickly. And so dad lays down the newspaper and says, Larry, step aside. Let me wrestle John. And so he began to wrestle John. And John didn't know it at the time, but he said they were just wrestling and they were kind of fighting and going. And he said, my dad made it a long match. But at the end of the match, I didn't know it at the time, he let me pin him. And he said, not to brag about it, but from that point on, he said, I never lost to Larry again. He said, I was the same wrestler, but all of a sudden, I believed I had never won a match my whole life. I just pinned my dad. Now I can do anything. And his brother couldn't figure it out. Your children need small wins. And this is so rooted in Scripture. Do you know Jesus? As he raised up 12 disciples, he walked with them, he taught them, but guess what? He also let them make some mistakes. Our goal as parents is not to protect our children from making mistakes. If they are going to have victories, guess what? They have to get in the game. Think about it like a coach. A coach is like a parent. You can't, as a coach, go in there and say, step aside, son, you're coaching basketball. Let me shoot the jumper. You have to let the child shoot, and guess what? He might miss. But also that same shot could win the very game. And that's what Jesus did. He let his disciples argue. He let his disciples bicker. He sent them out on certain missions, and he had to even correct them when they came back. He sent them out. He let one of his disciples betray him. They made mistakes. They said incredibly dumb things that are recorded in the Bible. And yet, Jesus still said, right after he did one of just an incredible miracle, he looked at his disciples and he says, I tell you the truth, you will do even greater things than these. He says, I'm doing these miracles, but you are going to do something greater. Parents, do you pray that for your children? I pray, since all of my children have been born, I have prayed that they would do incredible things for the kingdom, that their impact would be greater than mine. That should be a prayer for all of us for the next generation, that they would do more than we ever did. Not that they would have more fame or popularity or be good looking, that it doesn't matter, but that they would have more impact and more, they would see more transformation than we would ever see. And that leads us to this final point. Let the next generation take ownership. Let the next generation take ownership. And really what that is let me give you an image for this. Have you ever, my wife and I like to go on different road trips, and more times than not, I'll drive, no particular reason besides she hates driving and makes me do it. But as I'm there, one time I was in the passenger seat, and she was driving, and I noticed, I was sitting here, and I was doing this, just looking silly. I was reaching for my seatbelt. I sat in the seat thinking I'm going to drive, but I'm like, oh, like, I'm not driving, I'm the passenger. Passengers and drivers have different roles. One husband this week posted over 20 different pictures. I'm not going to show them all to you, but he did a collage of every different scene in his wife, and some of them are hilarious. He's just like sprawled out. I don't necessarily recommend shooting photos while driving, but a driver has a different role than a passenger, don't they? When you go in, when you sit down as a driver, you're checking your mirrors, you're looking ahead, you're planning your route, you're thinking through. The passenger can check out. The passenger can fall asleep. The passenger can snore. They don't have to pay attention. Friends, if we are going to empower the next generation, sometimes we need to let them sit in the driver's seat. And it is scary. But our goal is not just to protect children, it is to prepare them. It is to prepare them, and there's the term, right? Helicopter mom. Parents, helicopter parents. I want you to know everything I'm talking about, this is hard for me. I've shown pictures here in church. My son, if we go out to a restaurant and it's spaghetti, it looks like he could be wearing white and he comes out solid red. Like, just, and this kid cannot, I don't know what's wrong with him, he can't eat. Like, he decides just to like paint himself. And so what's been a struggle for me, my wife has even pushed us on this. I'm just like, can't we just spoon feed him like the rest of his life? Like, I don't want to keep cleaning up this mess. It is difficult letting kids make mistakes, isn't it? But if we don't do it, mom and dad will be spoon feeding our kids the rest of their lives. Now, here's the thing. Millennials, many millennials are now the largest, they have passed boomers and are the largest adult population in the world today. In America, at least, I know that for sure. But here's the thing, many, because millennials, we have gone through such change, what we often do with our children, because external locus of control, right? We need to bring control to our lives, so what do we try to do? We try to control our own children. I can't control what's going on in work. I can't control what's going on in the news. Things just keep depressing me. I'm hearing about this and that in the news, and my life is just difficult. So the one thing I can control, I can raise my kids right. And so what we end up doing is we take control of our own kids. But the problem is when we do this, we take control of our lives, yet now we're not allowing them to take control of their lives, the very thing they need to grow and to be healthy and to succeed in life. So the challenge is, and we'll do this here at church, how do we raise up this next generation, not just to be passengers, but to be drivers? Because we believe the next generation isn't just the next generation, but we believe we are raising little difference makers that are going to break through and do incredible things, and we're already seeing it happen. We want to continue to empower them, invest in them, say we believe in you. You can make a change. You can take a hold of your life. And there is a God when life is unfair and life is challenging. Don't worry about the likes. There's a God who loves you, who cares about you, and can work through you. Come on. And we must continue to be that voice. We must continue to cheer on the next generation. And we must continue to empower them and even allow them to fail. Friends, let me leave you with this last image, because we need to teach our children, teach ourselves even these two images. Are we either toll roads or are we stuck in traffic? Look at that. It's stuck in traffic, getting out of the car, not knowing when the end is in sight. But if we could go back to the toll road, a toll road, you know that you have to go up and you have to pay a fine or a fee. It feels like a fine. Easy pass, right? Sometimes you're going through life, you want life to be easy, and then change hits you and it's challenging. You're like, oh, I see the road ahead. But you have to go through some difficult times. Jesus said, in this world you will have many troubles. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, here's the thing. Parents, anytime we talk about parenting, if you're like me and you hear a lecture on parenting or a sermon, you begin to realize, oh, I've helicopter parented my kid, or I haven't empowered my kid this way, or man, I am just, instead of all these things, I'm just yelling at my kid when they mess up instead of encouraging them and loving them. And so we can feel very guilty. And so maybe you're on this journey of parenting and you feel like you're stuck in traffic, and then you come to the toll road and you feel like you don't even have anything to pay the toll. But here's the hope that we have in Jesus. As parents, as followers of Jesus, whether parents, difference makers, we come to the toll road and we do not have the toll in life. Yet the promise of the scriptures, the promise that Jesus made, is that he paid the toll. He paid the price. We are not perfect, yet he pays so you and I can go free and clear, and that we can actually make a difference in this world. As a parent, I have made many mistakes. Yet I continue to go to a God who is good and who has forgiven me, who forgives us, and that offer is here for everyone. That anyone, he paid the price so that we could all go free. And this is what we teach our children. You will go through many pains in this world, yet Jesus came, he paid the price and set you free. And the call is that you would pay a price so that others could be set free. We have been changed so we can make a difference in other people's lives. It's not just to be stuck free in traffic and just be free and enjoy the rest of our lives. Our call is to make a difference. We will raise up the next generation of difference makers. We're excited to partner with you, and whether you have kids or not, we're all in on trying to reach this next generation. Because we will not let children go by and not let children take their own lives without imparting hope into them, without letting them know there's a different way. Who's with me? Yes, come on. God is good. When life is difficult, God is good. Some of you might be going through some difficult change right now. And I invite you in this moment, we're going to pray. And whatever you're going through, I want you to know the promise of Scripture is this, something you need to declare out loud, that God is close to the brokenhearted. Maybe your children are going through something. He's close to the brokenhearted. Right before I pray, I got to share this last story with you. In between services, there was a mom that came up to me in our own community. And her son is battling severe cancer, chemo, the whole deal. And so every week, connecting, praying, we're praying for her as a staff. And she comes up and says, and so I first ask her, I'm like, how's your son? How's he doing? Praying. And she's kind of like hesitated and almost just like, well, let me share this with you. So she shares how her son is. She said, but I got something else I'm concerned about. I'm like, what? And she says, there's another boy in the hospital who my son has befriended, and he is in a worse state. Could we pray for him? And so here she was talking about, and she's almost in tears sharing how she is helping this other boy. So it was almost, and I told her this, I said, I'm so impacted what you're sharing. You love your son, you care for him, but you're almost saying, yes, my son, and I want to take care of him, but there's other children that are in need. Friends, we have children that are in need that have cancer. But this mom, she also got, not only does my kid need help, but there are a lot of other kids that need help. And I told her, I was so blown away by this. Here you are going through all this because she understood this. Although life is difficult, God is good. The fact that her son has cancer is not the final say. She is using that, and they are making a difference. They are impacting, because she could treat this as, my son has cancer, it's the end of the world. But they've gone into the hospital, and I've heard other stories. They're impacting doctors. They're impacting other, like, people are like, what is going on with you guys? And they said, Jesus has changed our lives. Yes, my son has cancer, but cancer does not get the final word. Jesus gets the final word. That's the message we have to share with the world. What happens to us is not the final word, but what Jesus did on the cross is the final word. And he said, it is finished. So let's walk in that promise. Let's walk in that hope. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your goodness. I thank you for all of the parents, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the difference makers in this room that are making an impact in the next generation. I thank you for all the students, children in this room and down below, and maybe even jumping on the water slides even now. Father, we pray for them. May we prepare them for what's ahead. May we point them to you as a community. May we even point our own hearts. Maybe some of us are here today and we're overwhelmed by change, overwhelmed by the difficulty in life. May we slow down. May we hear your very words that you are not far from the brokenhearted, that you enter into our pain, our suffering, you do not minimize it, and you walk alongside of us. May we know that you are close. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. So may we feel your presence as we sing. May we see you do incredible things in our lives and the lives of others. God, we love you. We want to continue to worship you, not just today, but throughout the rest of the week. We love you and praise you and pray these things in your son's name.